get me a little drink of water so I can give you a little drink of water. Chapter 39 of Genesis, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him in out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time he had made him overseer his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, my master wot not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou hast art his wife. And how that then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not to her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment and saying, "Lie with me," and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when he saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it came to pass when he had heard that I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spoke unto him accordingly with these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought into us came into me to mock me." And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, we know that this is not some history book again, don't we? We know this is something to do with your life and my life. See, we know this is part of my life. Now, what we have to do today is we have to break this thing down and see how it's relevant to your life and my life. Okay? And when I understand how it's relevant to my life and your life, that's when we're going to make a change. See, you can change nothing until you change the way that you think. That's why he said, put on the mind of Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you find out, when you change the way you think, you'll change the way you act. Because the way you think is the way you act. Period. Whatever goes on inside is what you do outside. You can suppress it all you want, but it'll, sooner or later it'll pop up. You will not hide it forever. So we have to find out now, how do we put this in our life? So let's go back to the first verse. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Tell me about that statement. Joseph was brought down. Who is Joseph? Joseph was Christ. Christ in you. Christ in me. Now, do you know what Joseph means? It says, let him add. But it should say, let God add. Do you realize what that means? To let God add, you must be humble. You've got to get rid of the I world. You've got to be into the we and us. Because if you're going to let someone add to your life, it can't be in pride. Not in God. You can't have pride. So now we find out that Christ, and that's the Christ in me, has got to let God add to my life as he chooses. Is that correct? It's not me choosing what I want, what I like, what's comfortable, what's uncomfortable. It's whatever God wants in my life, that's what I need. And I have to agree with him in whatever it is. And he was brought down to Egypt. Doesn't the book say, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven? Didn't he? God brought him from the spirit realm and brought him down to the earthly realm. And doesn't Egypt represent the worldly earthly realm? It's all talking about us. And Potiphar, and what does his name mean? Belonging to the sun. Everything has been given into the hand of the who? If you go into the book of John, it says, all judgment is given unto the Son. Father judges no man. All this is given to the Son. Now, is he talking about one man? Or is he talking about a corporate son that the Bible speaks of? This is a corporate son who he's put this judgment in. It's not one man sitting on a bench like a big judge somewhere making decisions. This is in each and every one of his sons has judgment. And the only judgment I can give is upon myself. I can't judge you. I don't have a right to judge you, do I? I can only judge myself. And if I judge myself righteously, I won't have to worry about anything else, will I? Because it's a full-time job of taking care of our own individual thought processes, isn't it? But Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, right? Now, what's kind of neat about this Potiphar thing, because you know what Potiphar really represents? Someone tell me what Potiphar represents. Okay? It's the carnal mind. It can't produce anything because it's already dead. Death doesn't produce anything, does it? Now, why I'm saying this is because this word here that means captain or officer also means a eunuch, and a eunuch is something that does not reproduce. It's also a valet in the female quarters. So it's something that's been put into the soulish realm that cannot reproduce. See? It's only an illusion. We live in our world where most of the people in this world live strictly by illusion. They don't live by reality. And they're satisfied with illusion. They don't want to know the truth because the truth demands something from us. If I know the truth, I must respond to that truth. I don't have a right to say no to God. I don't have the ability to say no to God. Once that truth enters me, now I have to respond to that truth. He is God. I'm not. I must respond to his command, whether I like it or not. Anyway, he was the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. I don't like that. The word was is literally existed or abided in Joseph. It's a preposition. And in a preposition in the Hebrew language, there's no definite word. It's like, here's a big list. Pick out which one you think fits. Well, I know which one fits. God wasn't hanging out with Joseph like a buddy. God was within him, just like he's within us, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's in us today, he was within humanity back then. And he was put in humanity in Genesis 2:7. There's where he went in, and there's where he remains until this day. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that means you don't got to worry about that. All you got to do is learn to be obedient. That's all we got to do. Everything else is immaterial. All the do's and the don't do's out of religion, you can forget about that stuff. Because if you're not obedient within yourself, you're not going to be obedient to anything external. Okay? And he was in Joseph, and he existed a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. See, he was in a place of duality, but he was prosperous. Do you know what that's telling me? That Christ can be in us, and yet in the flesh we're in duality, but yet I can be prosperous and be obedient to God in the midst of this prosperity of the natural world. See, because prosperity contaminates people. When the money gets too great, what happens to them? They become independent. They become dependent upon their checkbook and not on God. How much of a deposit is there of God in you? Why can't we be dependent upon the God, the deposit he placed within us, instead of being dependent upon a figure in a checkbook or a bank account? See, something's wrong with our thinking. And that's why we need the thinking process change. It's not about money. It's about the deposit that God has placed within us. And it says he's given faith in a measure to every man. We all have it, but do we believe it? Just like the parable of the talent. What did you do with the gift he gave you? Did you go bury it in the earth? Did you bury it in the carnality of your mind deep and don't want to talk about it anymore like the one did? Or did you take it and put it to use? Because if you use it, it'll multiply. You got to find this stuff out and know what God's dealing with us about. And if we don't, we're just going through life as a zombie. And his master saw that the Lord was within him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Did you see who made it prosperous? Joseph never said, I, did he? Because he was a true representation of the Christ within. It wasn't about what he did, it's what God did for him. It wasn't that I made it prosperous. And I hear it so much today, especially in ministry, it's my ministry. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished in my ministry. Well, you know what? If Jesus was placed today in the realm of ministry of the world today, he would be a failure. Because he ministered for 3.5 years, and he only had 12 disciples that stayed with him. And one of them was a thief, and 9 of them didn't pay any attention. Peter, James, and John was the only ones that did anything close to him. And only one of them had enough gumption, enough draw in him to truly get to the heart of God, John. He truly had the heart of God because he found out about the love. See? Come on. He would have been a failure today. So it's not about numbers. It's not about how much money. Jesus didn't even carry money, did he? Let somebody else carry it. Let the thief put it in the bag. Let him carry it. He's the money man. He wants so much of it. If that's his God, guess what he can do? He can have it. See, it's not about the money. If God wants something done, do you think there's anything in the world that could stop it? If God wants something done, it will be done. If he doesn't want it done, it will not be done. End of discussion. I've been told I can't continue to give things away. You're making us look bad. Well, I'm sorry. I can do what God tells me to do. Freely I receive, freely I'll give it away. I don't care about what people think about me. And I got a friend that I've known him for years. We've been having some time together of late. And he's so concerned about how people think about him. And he has some skin cancers, and he's having to put some medication on his face. He said, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, I'm going to have to hide. Because I'll look horrible. And I said, what's that got to do with it? What's it got to do with who you are, the way your outward appearance is? That is not who you are. And if people look upon you that way, then they're not your friends. And if they get a kick out of making fun and mocking somebody who's going through a terrible disease like cancer, they're some sick puppies. You know what I'm telling you? They're sick. And I said, I wouldn't be a bit concerned to see that on your face. It doesn't bother me a bit. Why? You're my friend, and you'll be my friend regardless. I said, I take friendship very, very, very seriously. I don't take it lightly. I think a friend is something that you rarely have in life. And when you find one, and I made this statement before, I have never, ever told someone who was a friend in my life to leave me and go away. Or never did I ever walk away from one. As God is my witness, I have never walked away. Lord, I've had tons of them walk away from me for whatever little chintzy, childish reason there was. But I've never cast out a friendship because of what he's put in me. I can't do it. If they're my friend, they're my friend. End of discussion. If they want to leave, they can leave, and I won't chase them down. But I will not turn anyone away. I guess that's just what he's put in me. You know, that's the way it is. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Now, the word grace here, we all have connotations, but that word grace isn't even the language. Favor. We found favor in the sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and he put all his substance into his hand. All of his substance he had, all of his worldly possessions he gave to him. Now, why did Potiphar give everything he had to Joseph? Tell me why. There's a reason why he did it. But that's not the only reason. Nope. Greed. He saw everything he did become prosperous. He said, hey, it's good business. Let the Jew have it. Give it to him because he's going to multiply my stuff. This is the carnal mind thinking here. The carnal mind don't do anything for God. It's not subject to God, is it? Neither can it be. Can't receive anything from God. So say, hey, let the Jew do it for me. That's what he's saying. Let him do it for me. He's making money. Let him go. Because his focus was what? Money. Greed in the world. That's what drives the system out here. Take the money away and they all quit. See how many go to work tomorrow if they haven't got any money. No paycheck, watch them go. They ain't coming back. Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I say, greed again. Absolutely. Yeah. Remember this, that Potiphar is the mistaken identity of humanity. It's a mistaken identity. We think we're the worldly people. We think we have some authority, don't we? That's what people think. Joseph was the true identity, okay? In Galatians 4:1 says, we are all under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So it's okay to be under that mistaken identity for a season. There's no place in our walk with God that is wrong. Hear me. There's nothing wrong with any step in our walk with God. The only thing wrong with it is when I choose to stop in that place. There's where the fault comes. Because this is a journey we're traveling on. And a journey doesn't mean stopping and sitting down. A journey is action. I'm going on with God, wherever it is. I don't know where the next step's taking me, but I'm going. It's called faith. We walk it out. See, nothing wrong with when we were in the Passover experience, all we knew was certain little baby steps, wasn't it? Nothing wrong with that. Just like these babies in here. If they're where they're at, there's nothing wrong with them being where they're at. That's who they are right now. But you know, tomorrow they're progressing. And the next day they progress again. And see, we can't permit our children to stay children all our lives. If I wanted my children to remain children like a lot of people do, so I can control and manipulate them, you know what? I'm doing them a big injustice. Let them grow up and be what God has created them to be. True? We got to get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do with our children. Because they're not really ours, are they? They're his. Let them grow. Now, and it came to pass at about this time when he had made him overseer in the house over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian, that's the carnal man's house, for Joseph's sake, for Christ's sake. And see, with Christ in this house, I'm talking about my body and your body. How could God not bless your body? Huh? It's an impossibility, isn't it? I mean, I have to be walking in blessing because the sovereign God of the universe is dwelling in this thing. Isn't it? How could I not be walking? The only way I can be walking anything else is because my thinking process is not right. If I know that the sovereign God of this universe dwells in here, how much better could it be? My God, how much better could it be? Okay? I'm not concerned with the outward appearance of my house. I'm worried about the inside of the house being clean. Okay? I think Jesus taught about the outside of the cup and the inside of the cup. Same thing, house inside, outside. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. No matter where it's at, they were blessed coming in and going out. I'm blessed coming in and going out. It makes no difference where I go. My house is wherever I am. Isn't yours? God dwells in this house wherever. If I'm sleeping on a hillside or in a great big fancy bed, God's still God. It makes no difference. And it doesn't make me less of a person because I don't have some big fancy home. I'm a son of God, and it doesn't make any difference. Jesus slept in a manger, didn't he? He didn't have a big fancy house. Now, he did have a house according to the book. There was a book in there in the book of Mark. You'll find it was his house, okay? There was a time when he had a house. But I don't know all the details about that. It's not important right now. But he had a house, okay? No matter what the circumstances. Didn't the New Testament, doesn't Paul say, give thanks in all things? You mean when I have a bad day, I'm supposed to thank God for it? I think you're thinking better now. You better be thanking him for it, because he could have took that day away and you wouldn't be here, couldn't he? See? How many people are dying today around the world? Hundreds of thousands of people may be dying today. Well, guess what? They haven't got anything left. They're done with this world. Thank God for every day you get. And thank God for the hard things coming at you, because those hard things are going to really make you figure out who you really are. If I'm never tested, I'll never know who I am. I'll never know what identity God has placed in me. I'll never find that treasure that was buried within this humanity. And I want to find all of it. I'm not satisfied with just finding a few gold coins. I want the whole thing. Verse 6, it said, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And isn't all given to Christ, the Son? And he knew not anything that he had except the food which he did eat. And Joseph was a what? It says a goodly person. It literally says he was beautiful in appearance. Huh? He was a handsome person. He was a handsome man. And see, I think the picture of Jesus that we get is a very poor rendering of who he was. Because the scripture said there was nothing in him, nothing comely in him, nothing that would make you want to look upon him. He was as plain as anybody could get. He was like a wallflower. You'd walk by and wouldn't even notice him in the crowd. But see, we weren't talking about his outward external appearance. He was a beautiful person because of his nature that was within him. That's what makes you truly beautiful. Not the makeup and the, what they call stuff, this cosmetic surgery they give you today. Because I can see some people that's had a lot of adjusting on their cosmetic surgery on their faces and their bodies and stuff, and they're some of the ugliest people I ever seen in my life. They're ugly. Their attitude, the what's inside of them is so ugly, it makes them almost perverted in their looks of their face. I mean, I see people that people think are so beautiful, and I look at them, they're actually like repulsive. They're just like, oh, it just looks horrible to me, because I can see inside their heart and see that that's no good thing. Okay? So don't worry about the outward appearance. It's the inward appearance. And that inward appearance will cover you, I guarantee you. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. This woman right here, do you know who she is? She's the adulteress of Proverbs 6. The adulteress seeks the precious life. If you think that your soul don't want to get a hold of you, you're kidding yourself. Because I don't have to worry about some deception coming from out there to get me. The only deception that can get you or me comes from within yourself. When you start to lie with your woman, when you start letting your woman have control, and I'm not talking male and female here, I'm talking about your soulish, emotional side of life. When you let that control you, you are in trouble. But see, he's the type of Christ here. And Christ said, there's no way I'm sleeping with that woman. She's an adulteress. She's already got a husband. The carnal side. Hear me? So guess what? He pulls away. Watch what happens. She cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master knows. That word, wadeth, that's King James. That's an original. Should say knows. It's the word yada. Knows not what is with me in the house, and he has given all that he has into my hand. Now here's a man that's faithful saying, how can I betray my master? He has given me everything. He trusts me explicitly. How can I betray him? See? Well, that's me and you talking to God. Says, how could I betray my master? Christ within me and lie with my emotions when He has committed everything to me? Everything's been given to us, has it not? So why should I lie with my emotions instead of lying with my Christ, standing with my Christ? Somebody's got something wrong here. Now, don't get it wrong. That soul is there for a reason. She's there to test you. He brought the adulteress there to seek that life, to see if you really love your man or not. If you love him, you won't go with her. Okay? There is none greater in his house than I, and he has kept back or withheld, he's held nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this, what? Evil. And sin against God. Literally the word sin isn't there. It should be miss or forfeit God. How can I do this evil thing and lie with my master's wife and give up my shot at God? Do you know how many people give in to those emotions? I don't care about emotions. Everybody has emotions. I have emotions. Mine have been checked a little bit. I try to leave them at the door. Some door, somewhere where I was at before. I don't know where they're at no more. I don't want them. And when I hear about all these tragic events, I understand that God's in control. And me losing control does not encourage a living soul, does it? If you're going through a hard time, Mike, and I come to you and say, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Did I help you any? But if I come and say, brother, I understand that there's a close tie to this person you lost, you know, but don't worry. They're in God's hands. Forget about this torment of hell, because that's what you have before you die. After you die, there is no more torment of hell. Hell's in the mind. And so when I come and encourage you, how much better can you feel? But me crying with you won't help you a bit. Okay? Misery loves company. It's the emotions. And when you get in those emotions, you will not make good decisions. And I get accused all the time of not having any compassion. I'm a very compassionate person. I just don't have the emotions that most people want to see. I'm not a performer. You know, in Jerusalem and over in that country, over there in the Middle East, they hire people. They got professional mourners. If you see them on TV, they're going, la, 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 screaming and yelling, carrying on. See, they're professionals. They're actors. They're performers. I'm not a performer. What you see is what you get. And see, that's why I've said for years in here, be who you be. I am not the performer. I can't perform for you. Don't expect it, because I'll disappoint you if you think I'm a performer. And you've been around me a while at all. No, I'm not a performer. I just who I am. Isn't that right, Ed? I just who I am, and I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to help you find out what I have found out in my life. It works in my life. So if it works in my life, it can work in yours. But God's not a respecter of persons. You can, it'll work for you. Yeah. They feel like they have to mourn for a certain period of time or it's not right. See, that's cultural things. Traditions and cultural things. It's not important. There's no rules and regulations in the kingdom of God except this. Love the Lord the God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love, guess what? If I love you, will I judge you? If I love you, will I put rules and regulations upon you? Huh? Can't. If I love you. Now, I'm not talking about man's love. I'm talking about loving with the love of God. If I love you, I can't do anything to you except love you, can I? That's why they don't need those two commandments, which you said was one, love. If I love, I don't do any of them other things. Like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament says in Exodus 20. It says, thou shalt not steal and commit adultery and fornication and all this lust and all these things. How could I do it if I love you? How could I do those things to you? Wouldn't that be an oxymoron to say I love you and then commit adultery with your wife? I mean, come on. Huh? It's a lie. See? And the only one I'm lying to, and this is something I've heard a long time ago, it stuck with me. We lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves. And lying kind of has a form of respect and honor with it. Did you know that? When you lie, you're giving honor and respect to the person you're lying to. Did you know that? Because what you're saying is, you're superior to me, and if I tell this lie, maybe I can get up there where you're at. That's what they're doing. Whether they realize it or not, that's what they're doing. They are mixed up. You're right. Okay. Where are we at? Verse 8? Okay, verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not to her to lie with her or to be with her. Now look what he says. As she talked with him day by day. Does that sound like a one-time temptation? See, most people never tell you about this. This is something that's going to endure till the end. Didn't Jesus say, he that endures to the end, the same shall be delivered? Right? When Jesus was in the temptation, and the temptation was 40 days, when the temptation ended, what did it say about the devil? It said, first the angels came and ministered to him, and then the devil departed for a season. Now, what does that mean? He left for a period of time, but that tells me something. If he left for a period of time, it means he came back. He came back. Now, I'm not talking to him as a personality. I'm talking about the carnal mind. The testing of the mind came right back. The accuser in the mind came right back into force again after he was refreshed. That's all. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business or his work about this day that he came in to do his work, and there was none of the men in the house there with him, within. What does that tell you? There's something that I have always made an example in my life because of what I had learned in the principles of this book, was that a man should never minister to a woman or a woman minister to a man in private. He got in trouble right there because he walked in a trap. It was a set-up deal. He knew she was coming after him, and he still exposed himself to that temptation. Although he didn't accept it, he put himself in a place where he could be. Remember what the book says? Avoid all appearance of evil. Now, if I went to somebody's house and walked in their house and their husband was gone, or whether it's single or married one, and a neighbor saw me go into this woman's home or apartment or whatever and spend the day there ministering to her, truly ministering to her, what's the appearance of the carnal mind? There's an affair going on. Farthest thing from the truth, but see, I left that open, didn't I, if I do that? I left it open. And I have told people, I will not minister to you except in an open public place. If it's one-on-one, it's going to be perfectly open. And my wife knows that. I've met with several women in restaurants in town that perfectly open in public, and I'll do that. But I will not go into private with anyone except my wife. Now, for someone with me, and that's different, you know, several people, so you don't have to worry about getting those traps. That's something we should always think about, because if Joseph was the type of Christ, he walked into that situation. He lay himself down. See? He wasn't thinking. And she seized him by his covering. Now, what was she after? She was after the external. She took his looks. She took his covering. See, what is my covering? It's flesh right here, but my true covering is Christ. She took the flesh. She revealed who he really was. She stripped him off, and he left his covering in her hand and fled and got outside. See? He should have stayed outside to start with, shouldn't he? He got himself in a jam there. But who wanted this to be done? God needed to set it up so he could show us how to live our life. If Joseph never walked into that spot, don't you know we would not know what to do? I got no excuse now because he's shown me I don't put myself in that position. Now I know. There was a man I sat under years ago when I was first starting into the ministry, and this man was a very harsh taskmaster. And I'm sure he wouldn't think that, but he was. And he was very harsh and very legalistic in a lot of things that he would not agree to. He would never agree that he was that way. But anyone sitting on the outside looking in could see it, you know. And he would do things to me or to other people. And as he did things to other people, even not even to myself, God would speak to me. And he'd say, did you see what he did? I said, yes, sir. He said, don't you do it. He was teaching me through the negative side of another man. And that man would never agree to how much he changed my life. He would never know how much he has changed my life. But he's changed it tremendously, but not in the positive on his side. He was doing negative things in teaching me. He didn't see that because he's caught up in religion. That's okay. because that's where God wanted him. He's a perfect tool because he's caught up in his own pride and thinking that he's in control of all things. Well, yeah, that's okay. God will deal with that too. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in this Hebrew to mock us, and he came to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Now, what it literally says is, in the language, it says this, that he has brought in a Hebrew man. Do you know what the word Hebrew means? Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, means one from beyond. See, it's already a designation that you're someone from someplace else. Maybe an alien, huh? Didn't Paul say we're aliens and sojourners in the land? See, if we're Hebrews spiritually, we're from beyond. Jesus said, "My disciples are not of this world." That would mean they are from beyond. We're different. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. Here's what the soul will do to you. Here's what the religious system will do to you. When you reject their pleas to lie with them and multiply with them, guess what? They'll start accusing you, and they'll start lying about you. If you don't think it's true, try it. Separate yourself from them and see what kind of praise they heap upon you. Huh? They're going to make you the bad guy. Well, that's okay. Did you hear Joseph say, "I didn't do it"? Like a mute lamb going to the slaughter. You know why? Because God had revealed to him that what you meant for evil, he meant for good. He knew this. He knew it ahead of time. He just didn't speak it till later on. He'll speak it later to his brothers when there's a reunion made. But he knew ahead of time. God already showed him, "You're going to be the man in charge. I've already chosen you. All you've got to do now is be tested and performed and shaped and matured into the man I want you to be, and then I'll set you in the place that you're going to be. But until that time, you're under tutors and governors until I tell you it's time to come out." And it came to pass when he heard I lift up my voice and cried, he left his garment and fled and got himself outside. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. Now, what would that verse tell you? She laid up his garment until his master came home. Think about something. What did she do? She took his garment and kept it until her master came home. What was it for? Evidence. Does God's people store evidence against somebody? Doesn't he say, whatever sins you remit, they're remitted? Whatever things you retain, they will be retained, huh? God's people does not store up evidence against somebody. I've had that done to me. Write letters against this man. God's people don't do it, I said. That's exactly what I said. Write letters against this man. He's a bad man. Prove how bad he is. Tell me what he said. Tell me something negative he said. Go out and search them things out. Bad news now. God's people don't keep evidence, okay? They have grace and mercy. And she spoke to him accordingly these words. "That Hebrew, that one you brought from beyond, which you have brought to me, he came to me to make sport of me." Nah, he didn't come to make sport. He came to do his job, and because you didn't get what you want, you retaliate. That's what's going on. And the world will tell these lies about you. It should be no shock to us. Did they lie about Jesus? You think they're going to lie about you? If you say what he said, you think they're going to believe you? They didn't believe him, and they killed him for telling the truth. What do you think they're going to treat you like? Huh? Jesus even told us, if they'll do this to the green tree, what do you think they'll do to the dry tree? Green tree speaks of him, the tree of life. The dry tree is us. We have no life without him in us. So you know they're going to do it to us. Come on, you got to prepare yourself for this stuff. "And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." I'm going to tell you something. Something had to be bad for that guy to leave his covering, for Joseph to leave his garment. You know what I mean? Something had to be bad to lose his covering. And he knew he was in serious trouble, and he got out. "And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath or his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Now, do you really think that's what it's talking about? You know who put us in prison? Romans 8, verse 20, 21 says, the whole creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly. But that same creation was subjected with hope. Okay? Joseph was put in there by his father, by God. And it says that Jesus went to the cross, was sent here for that reason, with the foreknowledge of God. There was a purpose. Stripped of all his deity and sent down in a form of flesh. Yep, right along with the rest of us. And he came in to pay the price to get us out. And he said, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Oh, I like that part. Hello, I'm one of the king's prisoners. Throw me in prison. Who cares? What did the disciples do when they got thrown in prison? They sang and rejoiced and praised God for the opportunity to minister his life. Not murmur and complain because somebody mistreated me. Do you hear what I'm saying? He said, hey, come on, throw me in prison. You just put a mark on me. No, when you put me in the king's prison, that means I'm a king's son. I'm his servant. I'm his love slave. You don't have to worry about me complaining. See, God told me something years ago. He said, happiness is not doing what you want, but it's living within God's limitations and his boundaries and being happy there. See, I'm tickled to be there. I mean, how could it get any better? I can be in my father's house and you can do anything you want, but you know what? You can't touch my life according to what he said. You can't take my life, can you? You can't touch it. I can laugh at them. You can't do it. You can put a gun to my head and I'll laugh at you. Because I ain't going until God wants me to go. And when he's wanting me to go, there ain't nothing I can do to stop it. I'm free. I'm not bound up by their religious system. And look what he said. Where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Joseph was exactly where he was supposed to be. See? There's a time of incarceration. There's a time of being under tutors and governors as God has appointed us to be. But we've got to learn to be there. Did you hear about Joseph kicking and flailing while they took him into prison? Did you hear him complaining about being there? I don't hear it. He was content with whatever lot he's in, according to the book. And the Lord was, there's that word again. Them King James writers just got a real problem with God being in humanity. Okay? They didn't understand. That's okay. But the Lord was in Joseph and showed him kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the prison, the keeper, the ruler of the prison house. Okay? So who was the ruler over the prison house? If this body is the prison house, the carnal thinking is the ruler over it, and he gave me favor, that means that that carnal thinking isn't going to control me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thinking is not going to control me. Because I have favor and he don't have any. He said everything he had, he just give it to him. He didn't look into everything he had. He let Joseph just take care and do it. You know why? He had enough sense to know he couldn't stop it anyway. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand. Literally, he gave all to Joseph's hand, all the prisoners that were in the prison. Hello. He gave all the prisoners that was in there to Joseph. Imagine that. He took captivity captive. All the ones that was in the prison, he took. Did it say part of them? If that ain't reconciliation, there is no such thing in the world. He gave it to him. See, and if we don't look at this stuff and see that I am not in the hand of the world, I'm in the hand of God, and he's using the world to shape me. Just like the Jews said in Habakkuk, or Hosea said, Lord, what about these bad Jews? They're doing all these bad things. He said, yeah, I see him. He said, what are you going to do about it? How long are you going to let it go? He said, that's all right. I already got it under control. I'm calling in the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans, he said, good God, they're worse than the Jews. He said, yeah, I know. And when they get done, I'll deal with them. Let God do it the way he wants to do it because his way is right and mine's not. It's only his way. You let him do what he wants, everything will be all right. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Did you hear that? Whatsoever happens in this prison house, he is the one responsible and accounted for it. guess what? It's not I, but the Christ that lives within me. There ain't nothing I can do that's not His. You say, well, Christ wouldn't do that. You want to bet? You want to bet? You want to bet He won't do it? I can take you to the Scriptures and show you where the men of God violated the law. They did exactly whatever they had to do to get done what God wanted. He told one of the prophets to go marry a harlot. It was against the law for a harlot to do that, for a man of God to marry a harlot, even to touch her. Didn't David eat the showbread? Didn't he do things that wasn't allowed? And didn't God say, that's a man after my own heart? Disciples went through the fields and picked grain, which was illegal, to feed themselves. Come on. That old under the law thinking about can't pull your ox out of the ditch on the Sunday, you know, that thing ain't going to fly no more. God says, whatever's in the house, I'm responsible for the house. I am the steward of the house. He owns this house. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So guess what? Get out of the way and let the steward take care of it. Quit trying to volunteer for something. That's what's wrong with the church world. Everybody's volunteering because somebody told them to do something, but they never heard His voice like John 10. My sheep hear My voice, and the voice of another they will not hear. If you hear His voice, you won't worry about those other voices. Come on. That's all you got to worry about, His voice. If He's my master, the rest don't make any difference. And the ruler of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was in him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. See, the carnal mind hasn't got any say in this thing. It's not about what your mind tells you to do. It's about what the Spirit of God tells you to do. And when you do that, you know what? He has no control over you. The last Adam is dead. And when your thinking process comes to that understanding, you're not under that either. You're only a tutor in government until Father says to move on up. And it's His time.